Chapter 3. Prophecies Concerning Assyria. Another of the great early peoples of the world was the Assyrian nation, and we have now to consider the scripture prophecies concerning them, and inquire whether these prophetic utterances have been verified by an exact fulfillment in subsequent times. Assyria is described in the Bible as having been commenced by Asshur, who went out of the land of Shinar, which we have before referred to as the land of the Babylonians. Out of that land went forth Asshur, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth and Calah, Rezin between Nineveh and Calah. The same is a great city. Nineveh, of course, was their great capital city, and it is often put in scripture for the whole nation of Assyria, and it will be sufficient to consider the prophecies which went before concerning it. This Assyrian metropolis is described in the book of the prophet Jonah as an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, or that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. This is a true description of what was then the largest city in the world. Babylon had not risen to its great eminence when Nineveh was destroyed, but from the descriptions given by early historians, the Assyrian capital must have been even greater than that of the Babylonians or Chaldeans. Nineveh is described as extending some 20 miles along the bank of the river Tigris, and from the riverside back to the hills in the east. It was a walled city, according to the custom of those times, and the walls had a circuit of 60 miles. It is thought by some that this circuit of the city is intended by the 3 days' journey. On the other hand, it is said that Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey before he commenced to preach the solemn warning that had been given him concerning the overthrow of the city, and this would seem to convey the impression that it took 3 days to walk through the city. But whichever interpretation is correct, it is very evident that Nineveh was indeed an exceeding great city, and since there were more than 120,000 of its inhabitants unable to discern between their right and left hands, that is, very young children, it may be computed that the total population was something of the order of 500,000. The protecting walls which enclosed the whole were 100 feet high and sufficiently wide to allow 3 chariots to be driven abreast. At regular intervals along the walls, defense towers were built, of which there were 1,500, each 200 feet high. As we have already mentioned, the prophet Jonah preached in the midst of the city the solemn threatening, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The king of Assyria, then reigning, gave heed to this warning and called upon his people to fast and repent and to cry mightily to God, setting an example himself by wearing sackcloth and sitting in ashes. The Lord mercifully regarded this national repentance, and the threatened overthrow was averted for many years, a beautiful example which it were well for our nation and others to follow in these present perilous times. Some 150 years later, 2 more prophets were directed in the course of their labors in testifying for the Lord of hosts to give utterance to further solemn warnings and prophecies against Nineveh and the Assyrians. And this at the time when the great city and nation were flourishing prosperously. Who but the prophet of the Lord could have so accurately foretold the overthrow of Nineveh as did Isaiah and Nahum in the face of its increasing greatness and prosperity and its apparent impregnability? Isaiah tells Israel and Judah not to be afraid of Assyria, by whom they were then being invaded. Be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. Earlier in the same chapter, the prophet had pronounced her doom. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria. Therefore shall the Lord of hosts send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. Nahum foretells the doom of Nineveh in yet clearer language and in greater detail, both of these prophecies being spoken 100 years before the event actually took place. The graphic and poetical descriptions of the overthrow of the mighty city and nation can be read in the book of Nahum. But the following extracts may be appropriately quoted here. With an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof. While they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. The chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof. And the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is no end of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify the strongholds. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the canker worm. It has been well said that the poet Homer sang the fall of Troy after Troy had fallen. But Nahum, the prophet of the Lord, sang the fall of Nineveh while Nineveh yet stood and flourished. What then actually took place 100 years after these prophecies had been made? Nineveh was besieged both by the Medes and the Babylonians. The king of the Assyrians went forth against the besiegers and was successful against them in battle. After the initial success, the Assyrians returned to their camp and celebrated the victory by feasting and drinking. But while they were yet drunken as drunkards, as the prophet had foretold, their enemies surprised them by night, and many of the Assyrians were slain by the sword, as stubble fully dry, while the remainder were glad to return with their king behind the city walls. The Ninevites were now held within the city by their besiegers, and during the 3rd year of the siege, the waters of the river Tigris became so swollen by heavy rains that a large stretch of the city wall along the river bank was undermined by the floods and fell for the space of some 20 furlongs. With an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof. The gates of the rivers shall be opened. So spake the prophet, and so it must come to pass, in spite of the great strength of the city walls. The prophet had said also that the fire should devour, as well as the sword cut them off. And this we find to be the truth. Evidences of the destruction of the place by fire are to be seen on the sculptured ruins which have come to light during the evacuations of the site of the once lofty city. We are told that the king, overwhelmed with the sudden and unexpected calamity caused by the breach in the walls, was seized with such amazement and despair that he set fire to the palace with his own hands and perished in the funeral pile together with his wives and eunuchs. Thus was the palace dissolved, and the soldiers and inhabitants, panic-stricken at the sight of the floods and fire, were destroyed by the sword of the enemy entering through the breaches. The populous city was laid waste, and where it once stood, there is now nothing but desolation and a wilderness. So Zephaniah, who prophesied nearer the time of the overthrow, had also foretold, "He will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness, and flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations." Thus was the pride of Assyria brought down, and Nineveh suddenly overthrown. She had in her prosperity been fierce and terrible in her invasions of the surrounding nations, and as the rod of God had been used to punish both Israel and Judah. But now the judgments of God had returned upon her own head, and she was destroyed, no longer to exist as a power in the earth. We may conclude with some extracts from the book of Ezekiel, which he wrote some years after the event had taken place, describing the solemn judgments of the Lord upon Assyria and threatening the like to come upon Egypt, as we hope to consider in our next chapter. "Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him on high with her rivers running round about his plants. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. I have driven him out for his wickedness. And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall."